And coming up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org, it is the August 16th, 2020, perhaps the long show. We'll see how long it actually is. Likely to have a long flashback, but we'll see what we can put into the front end of the show. We're going to be following the people's response, or some of the people's response, to the city council's closed off, unresponsive, highly restricted, and badly broadcast meeting of last Tuesday. I'm going to try to run through briefly what happened to a few of the items that I've mentioned both on this show as being the sad agenda of the city council for that last Tuesday meeting, as well as I wrote about it in more detail on Santa Cruz Indie Media if you want to follow some of that stuff in with the more specific details. There have also been recent attacks on street vendors down at the Beach Street area, which have been covered in some detail on Facebook, and I'm just kind of cribbing from Facebook, and I'll be going through some of those stories. I'll be looking into incidents happening in Sacramento, as well as I may take a quick look at what little I know about the Santa Cruz City Council race coming up. You'll be hearing an interview with Alicia Kuhl, which touches on that. She's a city council candidate who has so far been passed over by different organizations that she had hoped would pay some attention to her. So there's, you'll see what you get, so stay with me and listen in.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with kind of an announcement from the last, I don't know if I mentioned it in the last show or the show before, or maybe both shows. As regular listeners probably remember, Dredd, also known as Izzard Charles Dreadman McCall, African-American cameraman and photographer who often accompanied Wes White on his video forays into Santa Cruz and elsewhere. I'm most familiar with Wes and Dredd through those particular expeditions, but I've also been there when he's worked in Salinas. The two of them worked together. Dredd died suddenly, and I'm still not sure what he died of a week or two ago. And there's memorial services for him, although I'm not sure if they're both still being held, which is the better one to go to, whether there's much difference between them. But in any case, there's one on August 21st, Friday. That's coming up next week. That's going to be at the Mission Memorial Park in Seaside, 1915 Ord Grove Avenue. Again, Mission Memorial Park, Seaside, 1915 Ord Grove Avenue. Sounds like it might be close to the Fort Ord scene. I don't know. And it's going to be at 11 o'clock and go through 4 o'clock. Then there's another one about a week later, a little bit longer. Quote, Resurrection to Awakening the Spirit in All of Us, celebrating the life of a legend, the man in black, walking in the footsteps of Izzard Charles Dredd McCall. Sun Street Park to Monterey County Governmental Center. Apparently it's a walk. Salinas, California, Saturday, August 29th, 2 to 5 p.m. So that's about a week and a day later, it looks like. And it's one town over, or is it? It's in the valley, as distinguished, kind of in the valley, as distinguished from on the coast. I hope to have more information about this situation, maybe get a further update from Wes White. I've left him a message. We'll see if he gets back to me. So on the line with me now is Keith McHenry, who's busy transporting veggies and other comestibles. What's going on down there at the Saturday feed?
Well, it's a pretty big line for being so hot. I'm kind of surprised. You know, of course, we just started about 15 minutes ago. So I'm back at the church taking all the food that we didn't cook and preparing it to take it to our refrigerated storage.
Now, what's the temperature look like down there, Keith, you know?
It looked like, to me, 100 degrees. It's miserable, completely miserable.
And what's the story with water access and cooling shelter access for people outside?
We do have water. I don't think there's other water. I'm not seeing other water around. But maybe there's water somewhere.
Have you had much contact with the new encampments forming along? I don't know how new they are, but the increasing in size encampments along Highway 1 outside the homeless Smidgens area.
Well, I've gone by to visit to see it, but I haven't actually been in it. So I'm not sure what's happening there. And then we were wondering if one of the reasons there was less people than normal yesterday was because of the move on Coral Street. So, but we're not sure what the real story of that was.
Yeah, I know I spoke to you about that yesterday briefly, or actually on Friday it was, since we're broadcasting this on Sunday. Did you get any further information about where people were going, if they were going anywhere, who are being ousted from this 17-tent camp?
Yeah, I don't know what's happening out there. You know, I've mostly been just cooking and serving food and that kind of thing, you know.
Now, is there, I've heard rumors, I think you may have mentioned to me your concerns about a city manager orchestrated attack on the Food Not Bombs meal. What's happening with that?
Yeah, well, we saw like a post on Facebook saying that that came up in a city council meeting at about a little after 8 last Tuesday. So I then wrote Sandy Brown, asked her what she thought. She said that Ryan Coonerty, the supervisor of the county, and Martine Bernal were working on it.
What? Working on what exactly? Any idea?
It. Well, it being something about a permit. They mentioned a permit, and they're working on it. Now, the only permit I know of is that they had at one point floated a permit for the benchlands. There also was, oddly enough, on that same night, a discussion about how the bank, the credit union, didn't like the people around there, so they were going to move. Now, of course, we all know that the credit union is going to be destroyed and made into a six-story luxury condominium project, so it's likely the reason they're actually moving is because of that. But I thought it was interesting Bernal would note that in the...
And we should say that you have been working on the COVID, Food Not Bombs, Santa Cruz Union, occasionally even Huff-supported meal for, what, 70 days in the parking lot, well, at other places too, but most recently in the parking lot right next to the credit union, right?
Yeah, we've been there for, at least 70 days. We've been out for 100 and maybe 20 days, something like that. So, that's what's happening there, and that's why there's some effort there to get rid of this, I guess. We don't know what that really means. It's one thing that's very concerning in general, not so much even about Food Not Bombs or any particular thing, is the fact that Bernal made it really clear that he's the sole decision maker for the city. And
that's city manager Martine Bernal.
Yeah, so that if it happens, it happens because he decided it should happen. There's no other essentially the city council is nothing at this point. So that is the problem there.
By the way, this is kind of an aside. I was noting online that Dredd, the sidekick, wingman, and photographer who accompanied Wes White on a number of his activities for the last few years, who died recently, has two memorial services coming up, one of them in Seaside and one of them in Salinas. Are you familiar with this?
I don't know. I know of him passing away. I don't know anything about a memorial service.
Which one do you know about?
I know that he died. I don't know of a memorial service.
Yeah, there's one in Seaside on Friday coming up, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Mission Memorial Park, and one on the Saturday a week later on August 29th in Salinas from 2 to 5. I don't know. I'm not a real big fan of memorial services. I think you got to celebrate while people are alive, not after they're dead. That's sort of irrelevant, really, in a way. But
although there is a long political history remembering
that's true.
People and particularly being motivated, maybe not in this particular case, as I'm not sure how he passed, but when people are killed by neglect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you.
Stuff, and that is super important. And then also just for people in the movement who might be good. So.
Any word on Instagram or other places which I should be looking at more carefully, but some don't really have the technology to deal with. I kind of hear about it secondhand, of upcoming protests involving defunding the police. I know you have one coming up next Tuesday at the city council meeting or city council
yeah,
space.
Yeah, there's one at city council. Oh, my God, I've made a huge mistake. Yeah, one at city council.
It's actually not the city council, but it's city hall. There is no city council meeting at that Tuesday. So.
Right. Yeah, it's a budget hearing, apparently.
Oh, really? Okay, so that they will be discussing defunding or ignoring the defunding? Or.
Correct.
Huh.
Yeah.
Any word about Pirate's situation? You were mentioning that Pirate, also known as...
Marty Marable, has a...
What's up with him?
He's getting ticketed a lot for living outside. He got littering, and I forget what the other one was.
Well, I know last I heard of him, he was kind of encamped in the parking lot, which is the same one that Food Not Bombs uses, while we're off to the side. Is that accurate?
Well, then he moved to, so Youngblood or Trueblood, the cop, said, oh, just go over there to Wheelworks on lot 17 and you'll be fine. And so they got over there, and of course, like is very common these days, he shows back up a couple of hours later and tickets him for a couple of different things. One was a really weird one, which one was littering, which was because he had furniture that he like a little living room. The other one was some other weird one, which I'd have to look up, but it was interesting. Classic anti-homeless, only a homeless person could get ticket. And that's what happened with him, and that was two nights ago.
Any word from the containment camp at the Benchlands or the camps that have been created as a consequence of people moving away from the Benchlands because they were forced out by the bulldozers and the police?
Well, some people say the food is nice. There was one woman who doesn't live there but was there to look for somebody, said that the two young men were like concierge who welcomed her there, and they gave her one of these meals that's made up at the university. They make $100 meals.
Wow, I should move immediately.
So, anyway, but then the other word that we get, but imagine today, I hope no one dies today, but it's you're stuck in one of those tents in this heat. It will be horrible because they moved everybody out of the shade into the sun.
Do you know when that happened?
People that are not in the camp are, I don't know. They're... in the shade and happy.
Or at least cooler, one of the two.
Much cooler, yeah. And much more likely to survive.
Any events coming up in the next week or two other than the I guess you have a protest. Is it going to be, where is it going to start? Where is it going to go? And what?
I think the town clock, and I forget what time.
Last time it was 6 o'clock. What's your plan this time?
I'm not actually planning this one. Somebody else is.
Okay.
I'm just trying to support
Where can people find more info if you know?
I did post it on Santa Cruz Nut Bomb's Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
So that's the last thing I know. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So, anything you want to put out about the needs of the Food Not Bombs meal?
Well, we do need volunteers, and we have Zoom meetings every week. It kind of changes. I think it's going to be on a Tuesday morning this week. You can email me, keith@foodnotbombs.net, if you want to get involved in the if you want to get involved, you know, keith@foodnotbombs.net. And or santacruz.foodnotbombs@gmail.com. And that would be a super big help because, you know, it's hard work out here. It's hard as can be. It takes like a kind of a little system of people to keep it together. And we were trying to give each person a little bit more time off so that they don't burn out.
Any reports around the COVID-19 deaths, hospitalizations, or respirator use?
I know the city or county's finally admitting that more people are dying. I think they reported 8 today.
Yeah.
I've only had one person on the streets confirm they had COVID.
COVID seriously? COVID passingly?
He didn't really say.
But he was ambulatory when you talked to him, and he was a
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so there's that. And thank you so much for grabbing all that stuff, man.
Bathrooms are still closed downtown and in the parks.
Yeah, and water is still no longer available unless you buy it. That's a drag.
Well, I'm going to let you get, you know, to haul that bread and
get back to this whole crazy
and the carrots over to you know where. So,
Thank you,
Keith.
Thanks for having us. Bye bye.
You take care, man. Bye bye. That's Keith McHenry over at, I guess, the Red Church, preparing meals for the folks who are trekking through the heat to eat.
Defund the police, give that money to communities, to black people free, we all rising up in unity. Defund the police, give that money to communities, to black people free, we all rising up in unity. Defund the police, give that money to communities, to black people free, we are rising up in unity. Defund the police, give that money to community, till black people free, we are rising up in unity. Defund the police, give that money to community, till black people free, we are rising up in unity.
And that was a series of one of a series of songs that was apparently maybe sung or used to advertise the June 9th march in New York City, March with the Families, organized by the families of DeLon Small, Chantil Davis, Sean Bill, Anthony Baez, Kowalski Trawak, Ramarki Graham, Kamani Gray, Noel Polanco, Jason Tirado, Antonia Williams, Eric Garner, Carlos Lopez Jr., Ake Gurley, and others as well. So now we're going to listen in to a little of the August 11th shitty council meeting, as I like to call it. That's the first city council meeting after the recess, where the city council has, in essence, completely ignored calls for defunding the police and, in fact, turned over all power pretty much to the city manager, Martine Bernal, who kind of had it before, but at least there was sort of more, foliage that kind of covered this. And, well, here's the city manager's report, since I think that is, it's important to go to the key person in the city to see what his likely next moves are going to be. Although, in some respects, who knows? Here's his report.
City manager report to provide update on city events and business items.
Thank you, Mayor. I do have several items I'd like to update the council on. First, just a COVID-related item. The council may be aware that we've been seeing additional vendors on Beach Street in front of the volleyball court area, and I've issued executive orders to provide for rules so that there's social distancing in place in that area. And thus far, we have been having a difficult time getting compliance from the vendors there with respect to the rules that have been put in place that require that vendors have certain conditions in place as far as wearing masks, as far as spacing is concerned, and where they locate so that they don't come into conflict with pedestrians and bicyclists and other users of that pretty confined and busy area. But we've been having issues with that, and I just want to let the City Council know that we will be having to take some additional measures and actions to address that. So we'll be doing that here soon, because it's becoming very, very difficult to keep people apart, and given the rising numbers in COVID cases and the spread of the virus, we'll need to take action on that soon. So I just want to let the Council know about that.
However, there are those who say, and we're going to be hearing if you go to Facebook, you can see the video. We'll be hearing the audio of Abby Samuels' analysis of this and her own reportage on this, which involved essentially a brick-and-mortar business person attacking and overturning a cart from one of the vendors on the street. And this actually involves harassment of vendors rather than any real legitimate concerns. This is from her perspective, I believe. But what I notice as I hear this and then listening to it afterward with you as you listen to it, I did not actually hear the actual city council meeting at this particular point. I was busy writing a speech. I don't know what that was worth. In any case, I'm usually leveling this criticism on the police department and, of course, on the city council, which then responds like a trained puppy to the police department. When the police department presents no stats indicating, backing up, or documenting its claims that there is a particular problem that requires increasing their powers of harassment, really, is what it boils down to, ticketing, fining, and even jailing. In fact, let's take a brief break here and listen to Abby Samuels and her analysis, her reportage on this of a couple of days ago. This is the audio of a video posted on Saturday morning, yesterday, if you're listening to this on Sunday the 16th. Here's Abby Samuels talking.
I am here at the beach, at the boardwalk, on the sidewalk. As you can see, there's steam cleaners are cleaning off all the vending places that they put places are for vendors. They had 13 of them, then 12. All the people on the beach. I had a good picture yesterday with no one social distancing. Yesterday. Today, it's not so obvious. It's still early. It's only 8:30 in the morning. But there's no vendors here. They're all gone. There's four cop cars up ahead. These are people that depended on their livelihood. They depended on this money for their livelihood. And the vendors were mostly Latinx here. They used to get up at 4 a.m. on the week, the night before the weekends, like on Friday night. They'd be up here at 3 a.m. to get a space to vend. Meanwhile, people on the beach, and it's not obvious right now, we're not keeping social distancing. The people walking on the boardwalk are not keeping social distancing, mainly white people with money. And then you have the cops here making sure there's no vendors. I'm just going to hang out here making sure no vendors come, I guess. Real nice. Two police officers, a ranger, and a community service officer. See who we've got here.
Would you like my
Morales, Isabella, and Maury. And here you have Santa Cruz Boardwalk. Two places. I'm not so sure as much about the Beach Street Pizza, but definitely the Falafel Hut, and I heard also potentially the Beach Street Pizza owners 1 week ago came out and were pissed, and they knocked over two hot dog vending vendors. They knocked over all their food, and that was about a little over a week ago. And who gets in trouble? The vendors, not these businesses. What the fuck?
There was also a protest on Friday supporting the vendors, and Abby came to that protest too and did a video which includes this soundtrack.
Hey, so what are the police saying?
The police are saying that if we set up tomorrow, that we will be cited, possibly arrested, and definitely our merchandise will be confiscated. That was the sergeant there.
That was Wes Maury.
And it was because of order number 2020-16.
Can I see that?
Reducing, here you go. Just pull it up there, you can see. Reducing unsafe overcrowding arising from sidewalk vending activities and replacing executive order.
Oh, wow.
But they won't close the beaches.
Well, even though it's not a politician, it's not the police just doing...
They're doing their job.
No, it's Martine Bernal. It's a city manager.
Yes, of course it is.
I didn't even look at the name.
Yes, ma'am, it was.
It's your mayor and city council.
No, it's not the mayor. It's Martine Bernal, the city manager. We're under an emergency, and he can do whatever the hell he wants.
He
can do whatever the hell he wants. Justin may or may not have any input into this.
He reports to the mayor.
He's supposed to report to the mayor, but he's not under emergency.
He reports to
I know he reports to it, but he does whatever he wants to do.
In this video from August 14th, Abby shows the people playing volleyball on the sand on the beach who are not wearing masks and not social distancing, whereas the people on the avenue, the vendors, some of them with signs, save the vendors, support the vendors, are wearing masks and I wouldn't say they're social distancing either, but they're at least wearing masks, and they're concerned about the destruction of their livelihood, as well as the community's right to buy from Latinx folks, from local community folks, or from people who are in more need than the businesses.
Do you speak English?
Yeah, I speak English.
I'm going to put this on social media.
Okay.
Can you? Is that, if that's okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Can you tell me what the police told you and what? Can you make any comments of what's going on?
What's going on? Yeah. So they signed an executive order today, saying all the street vendors have to be out immediately. But the police said we'll give them till the end of the day, and they're saying this is because of COVID, that they want to limit gatherings, but they've been, the city is the one that put these lines on so they can socially distance.
They put the what?
These lines up, these yellow lines.
They put the yellow lines up.
For every vendor.
Every I see.
Every vendor has their little box.
Okay.
Every vendor has a little box.
So they did that one.
It's been, I can't tell you how soon. Let me ask, because I'm not a vendor, I'm just
okay, here. Yeah, thanks. Who are you with?
I'm not with anyone. I'm just
okay.
A concerned
yes.
Santa Cruz resident and seeing what's going on, and I'm trying to spread the word. So 3 weeks ago. Three weeks ago they put these lines.
Okay.
So make sure they've been socially distanced. And, and she's saying they already took away one of the spaces. So they used to have 13 spaces, now they have 12, so they're already reducing it, but still selling the permits to sell. So they're selling more permits and reducing the spaces. So
and everyone has permits?
Everyone here has a permit.
And they're taking all the permits away?
They're not taking the permits away, but they're saying you can't sell here.
Where are they telling you they can go?
They're saying you can go to Capitola, you can go this place and that place.
Okay.
But
good, not in my city.
But we know that that's not the case. You know, if they go down there, they're just going to come at them again.
So what time do people usually get here tomorrow? And what
tomorrow?
Time? Yeah.
So the city actually put this down. It's first come, first serve.
Yes.
They have to come reserve the spot at 4 in the morning.
People come as early as 4 in the morning.
Yeah,
what time do the police usually show up?
From what we've seen, they come to their spot, but they don't set up till like around 8, so around 8 o'clock. Yeah.
And so the police might come...
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock or so.
8:30. They pulled up today at 8:30. And they've been constantly patrolling.
And then, do you know anything about the falafel, that whole thing with the person?
Yeah, so the falafel owner about a week ago came and pushed over 2 hot dog carts. And we've been coming out and supporting all the vendors, and he hasn't come out and made a statement about what went down. No statement, no nothing.
Uh-huh.
But just conveniently, a week after that situation, they get an ordinance that they're getting kicked out due to COVID. So people can, you know, you guys can draw your conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
It's just convenient that's happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Thanks.
And now back to the city manager's report at the city council meeting last Tuesday, or I should say the Führer reporting in to his underlings. That's Martin Bernal, the city manager and the true power in the city of Santa Cruz.
Second, a couple of budgetary-related items that I just wanted to highlight. First, the council does have a study session next week. As I understand, that's scheduled at 11 a.m., where the council will get an update on the city's budgetary status and some of the actions that the council may need to consider and take as we deal with our increasing fiscal crisis.
And that Tuesday, the 18th, which is coming up, is also going to be the day of another Defund the Police protest. But before we do that, I should add, those who are interested in using conventional means of imploring, begging, and groveling before the city council, or simply documenting your concerns, You can email City Manager Martine Bernal at mbernal, M-B-E-R-N-A-L, at, and this is all one word, cityofsantacruz.com. And you can tell him, rescind the order, and we'd like to talk to you at your house about it. If you won't, maybe you'll be willing to help out some of those vendors with their carts. Maybe your neighborhood would be a good place to do some vending. I don't know. Of course, vendors are not going to be interested in doing that. They are not interested in confronting these authorities. They're just interested in surviving and doing what they need to do. And while I'm at it, here's a note that on August 17th, that's tomorrow, Monday, there's a car caravan protest being announced, starting at 4 o'clock at Harbor High, rolling out at 4:15, and ending at the UCSC main gate. Every teacher deserves safety and job security is the theme. I guess you got to have a car to be a part of the protest, or I guess you could show up at the UCSC or at the where it starts, Harbor High. Teachers deserve safety and job security. On Monday, join educators, students, and their allies in support of public education during the pandemic. Organized by the K-12 Teachers Union and UCSC lecturers, the caravan will start at Harbor High at 4, travel to UCSC campus for a short rally in solidarity. We'll see how that works. Who knows? That's tomorrow if you're listening to this on Sunday the 16th. And the Tuesday protest coming up at City Hall goes supposedly from noon to 6. The organizer is the DSA, Democratic Socialists of America, Faisal Fazilat. I hope I got your name right there, Faisal, or Faz, or Foz. My apologies. Coalition of Santa Cruz Organizations plans a massive People of Color-led demonstration at City Hall on August 18th, when the council will discuss the budget. It's a study session, so I don't think there is any voting on the budget, but I could be wrong. With the People's Mic and calls for cutting, redirecting much of the SCPD's funding, later march with a care caravan, wear a mask. And that's, again, 12 to 6, day after tomorrow, if you're listening to this on the 16th, Sunday, on Tuesday, August 18th at City Hall. Now back to our Führer, or our leader, if you will, Martine Bernal. And this is from the Tuesday, August 11th City Council meeting, the City Manager's Report.
So I want to let the council and the community know about that, and for them to tune in and to hear a more detailed update and analysis of our budgetary conditions, which again are pretty significant at this point in time.
That's, of course, the budgetary special session, which will not be open to the public except through this very constricted and often inaudible process of using the Zoom and the phones, which, of course, you can't do if you're poor often, unless you want to spend all your minutes waiting on the phone for them to let you in, and then you only get to talk for 2 minutes until the Mayor Cummings cuts you off. So here's more.
And then finally, again, related to the budget, and I'll share my screen really quickly here, I want to let the council know that we have, the mayor has signed a letter that was sent to the County Board of Supervisors relative to requests regarding funding for, in particular, homelessness-related items. The county has received a significant amount of funding from the state related to homelessness allocations, and the city having a need with respect to a number of areas around homelessness put together a letter that was submitted to the Board of Supervisors. They are holding their budget hearings on these items this week, in particular with respect to some of the funding tomorrow. So just wanted to just go over those with you very briefly and for the public to make you aware of some of the major areas that we'd like to work with the board and the county on trying to address. First is the potential catastrophic wildland fire risk in our city and regional open spaces. As the council may be aware, we do have quite a bit of open space, and we will need to be doing some wildland interface to address the potential spread of a fire, major fire event, and that would likely result in the displacement of individuals that might be or that are actually camping out in the open spaces, particularly in the Poganuk. And so we'd like to ask the county if they could assist with providing surge capacity to address those that might be displaced by having to move individuals because of the need to do the fire mitigation in that area.
It's not clear here whether Martin Bernal is, what does he mean by surge capacity? Does he mean shoveling more people into the group centers that are CDC non-recommended because they make it more likely you're going to get COVID as COVID spreads and causes more deaths, as we see by the headlines today in the paper, as Keith McHenry mentioned earlier. Are people going to be given their own options to place their tents somewhere else outside? Are they going to be given decent areas to go to where there's access to water and sanitary facilities? That apparently is the one thing that the CATCH committee, at least on paper, was able to do. That's the City Council's Committee for Homelessness. I always screw up the exact name of it, the CATCH committee, it calls itself. They got the council to vote to, or they recommended to the council, and the council agreed to keep existing porta potties. Of course, they didn't direct them to reopen the bathrooms that are closed, so we could all have a little civilized privacy and cleanliness, and in a pandemic situation, you might think this would be the top priority, but no, it's not. Not unless the community makes it a top priority and goes beyond what the city council is and the city manager primarily are willing to do.
Secondly, as you may know, we are working with the county and Housing Matters to make improvements on Coral Street with respect to operations there, with respect to the condition on Coral Street and the surrounding areas, to provide a better environment for the service providers, the participants that come there to obtain services, and also the residents that live in that area.
But I notice, at least so far, no mention of the closing down of the Coral Street 10th City encampment across the street from Coral Street. So if that's what they're doing to make things nicer is by eliminating the 10th City that was set up a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, primarily to clear the sidewalks of tents and set up fence after fence after fence along the Coral Street area between Coral and I guess it's Limekiln, or perhaps it's Fern. I'm not quite sure which is the street it intersects with that leads off to Harvey West. Nor are there any specifics about what particular improvements are going to be made, how that money is going to be spent, how it has been spent. My attempt to get a budget from the what I call the Homeless Lack of Services Center, or Housing Smidgens, as I like to call it now, or among the many other names I've chosen to describe 115 Coral Street's complex of nonprofit grant grabbers. We don't have the details on how the money is spent, how many people it's actually helping. The big sign that talks about 950 people housed doesn't clarify for how long they were housed, nor over what period of time they were housed, nor how many people, in essence, are not getting housed, who are and also are being turned away. Since 2015, Homeless Lack of Services Center Housing Smidgens has not allowed the community homeless to get a meal there. And some people find its access to bathrooms problematic there. So there was some gratitude when actually porta potties were finally set up on the Coral Street sidewalk. But then, of course, they eliminated all the camps, all the tents along Coral Street. Of course, the tents then moved to the some of them, and particularly also from the Benchlands, when the Benchlands was ripped up and contracted and compacted into essentially a containment camp. Admittedly, not one with barbed wire and not one with a locked door, but one which essentially was much smaller, more cramped, more rule-oriented to the extent, although less so than in the past with other city-run camps. Not that they've ever had a county-run camp before this, in Santa Cruz County anyway. But still, not really treating adults as adults, and also doing this only for essentially a minority of homeless people. It's not being presented as a solution for the people who they are displacing. And this happened again, I guess it was on Friday, outside at the camp outside the 115 Coral Street across the street there. The, I don't know what they call themselves, but they were there as the displacement camp for people driven away from the Coral Street sidewalks a month or two before. You'll be able to hear my interview with that shortly later on the show, I believe. But back to the man who does it all, Martin Bernal.
I've been working with the county and Housing Matters to make some improvements there. And again, we are asking the county to provide some assistance with trying to make some of those improvements. You'll also recall that we did get awarded some money for the purchase of the Seabird property acquisition, which we're not moving forward with, and so that money could be allocated to making improvements in that area. Third, as you all, I think, also know, we have been seeing an increase in RV parking on the west side, and we have increased the RV parking capacity in the city. We have an additional parking lot now in Lot 17, which is the parking lot behind Real Works, as well as some additional capacity at the police department. But really would like to request that the county provide additional RV parking options throughout the county so as to spread the options for people living in vehicles to reside. So that's the third request here. And then,
but again, notice they were driving away, that is, the city authorities were driving away people from Swanton and Delaware streets by putting up all kinds of obstructive signs, tape, and cones without providing that kind of alternative, at least for the majority of the vehicles that were out there. That's my understanding. I did not go and personally poll people, but that is what I've been led to believe. Also, they're violating the coastal zone regulations, which essentially require them to show that they really have other accessible places for people to park if they want to visit the coast. And this is kind of a workaround, a lawyer's way of essentially getting at a problem which shouldn't have to be approached that way. It should be enough to say people have no choice but to live in their vehicles. Leave them alone. In fact, support them. Provide the services they need to make it a more decent situation. That's the least that can be done. But certainly don't try to drive them away. Don't try to criminalize them. But, of course, that's the go-to solution of Bernal. And these, of course, the second excuse is we're going to the county to look for more help, and until we get it, we'll send in our police like gangbusters to drive away the vehicular dwellers and the vendors and the folks who we simply have decided we don't want there for a number of reasons. In many cases, it's simply special interest thuggery on behalf of businesses and conservative residents who want to take over public spaces that they have no right to. We all live in this community, not just those who are well-to-do, own property, or have brick-and-mortar businesses.
And then finally, the county, in conjunction with the cities, has embarked on a process to change the way homelessness is addressed in our community as far as the governance structure and planning to, and how to move forward with that. And we'd like to request that the county also allow the city to participate in that process, and that we move forward with that process as soon as possible. And I'm sorry, there's actually another one. And then
But again, it's, the county must do this and do that. We are simply waiting for the county. But in fact, they're not waiting for the county to do anything. As I said, they've given orders to the police to take the actions that they don't have the courage to announce publicly at city council meeting, but they do it the next day. Or I guess this might have been announced late at night. I may have missed this particular, not late at night, in the evening session of city council when they were lauding the wonderful catch committee, their sort of toy poodle group that was supposed to come back with some strong recommendations, but actually, of course, the recommendations have all been made again and again in the past, and are essentially, this is the way of ignoring the recommendations made in the past and getting people to spend more time talking about them, talking about them, talking about them, just as Martine Brunel wants there to be more talk about what to do with homelessness. So they can talk about that and fund such conversations forever.
Final one is with respect to CARES funding. The county did receive about $27 million in CARES funding. The purpose of that was to address COVID expenses and also to address the homelessness. And we received some funding as well that we'll be allocating towards COVID response, particularly the impact and services that we've had to provide to address the homelessness issues. And again, I've asked the county to also allocate some CARES funding.
Now, do you hear anything specific in there about lots of money that Brunel has his fingers on, or the city council has his fingers on? Only they want to talk to the county about it, and they've gotten a grant.
For those purposes, including some of the items that I just pointed out. So I just want to highlight that for the council and the public. I sent a copy of the letter to the council as well. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
And if that is highlighting, they must be using the darkest light possible. So when asked for questions about this from the council to the city manager, Councilmember Sandy Brown pipes up, "Oh, thank you, Martine, for everything you're doing and for going to the county." And here's the rest of what she says.
Productive. I have a question that I hope you can just clarify for the general public, mostly because I've been getting questions from people, both tenants and landlords, about the eviction moratorium. We extended that until August 13th, but the language also included depending on what the state does, and the governor did extend that to September 30th. There seems to be some confusion, though, in the community about that. So I'm hoping you can just clarify that, and then also could we get that some kind of notice on that on our website with the COVID resources page, just to clarify.
Yes. Thank you for that. So the governor did extend, so the council extended and then allowed us to move forward with the extension if the governor did that. And so we anticipate, though, that if the governor does not extend, that we will be bringing forward the council item around that as well, so that you can review options to extend further and also to see what the governor will be doing. But right now, we do have the state extension in place, and we can certainly provide an update and additional information on our COVID webpage and on our housing webpages as well. So we'll do that.
Now, if you understood that answer, you're way ahead of me.
Again, just an FYI to the council, but this relates to the situation at parking lot number 27. Which is the parking lot on Laurel and Front Street that has been utilized by Food Not Bombs. And again, I just want to let you know, the council, that we are receiving complaints and concerns around the use of the lot as it relates to social distancing and some of the conditions there and associated impacts with the surrounding area. And so wanted to just let you know that that's a problem. And that and unfortunately also Food Not Bombs has not been complying with the permit that was provided to them as well. So we will be having to work on and address that situation as well. And I just wanted to let you know about that. Yes, but we'll do that as well.
Okay. Councilor Byers.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Martine, for the update. Regarding the vendors on Beach Street, I think I understood you say that we'll be implementing the pandemic rules. Is that what is that going to do? I mean, it won't move them. It'll just distance them?
Well, what we did was already put in place rules that where we have areas that are offline where they can be.
Okay.
They can be spacious. location. Those have been in place for several weeks now. Mm-hmm. We've also worked with them to get them to comply with respect to obtaining their business license, working with the health department to get whatever health permits they need. So I think we've been facilitating and working with them to do that. The problem has been that since then, even with these conditions in place, they have not, and even with quite a bit of enforcement, quite frankly, and work with them, it has not been working. Many have continued to fight in the non-designated areas and such that it's creating very, very crowded conditions. There's also been problems with bicycles intruding into the bicycle paths and just unfortunately a lot of issues, and it's just become a place where there's a lot of overcrowding, and that's obviously it's not conducive to trying to prevent the spread of the virus. So,
you know, I would try to consider this fairly and objectively, but I would wonder if, in fact, you have brick-and-mortar people like the falafel hut guys allegedly coming out and assaulting people and turning over carts and so forth. You'd need some documentation of these claims before the city would allow this attack on essentially impoverished, low-income vendors like this whose livelihood is involved this way. And particularly since they seem to be ignoring social distancing for tourists, volleyball players, surfers, you name it, on the beaches, then to go after people on the sidewalks looks kind of racist, you know. It looks kind of, it also looks like a special interest, special deal, special thuggery squad on behalf of merchants. So I would say, you know, okay, let's hear the evidence. But of course, they don't present any evidence. Bernal does not present any documentation, any report from the police, any report from anybody else, video, audio, or written about this, showing supposedly the crowding, supposedly the violation of rules. I don't really know what's going on. I haven't researched it thoroughly, but I would ask for that to be shown. And almost invariably, when the police want more powers or when the city manager decides to exercise more powers, at least during this COVID crisis, he just does it. And the city council wags its tail and rubber stamps it, you know, goes tumbling after, right afterward. Just no problem.
Quite simply, it's a health issue, health hazard, and it's something that we need to try to prevent the spread of the virus. So we're looking at having to change or add additional conditions to try to mitigate it even further, because what we've done thus far has simply not worked, unfortunately.
And so they want to stop, Bernal wants to stop the spread of the virus, but he doesn't want to provide access to motel rooms for homeless people who are vulnerable to the virus, at least not in the numbers that are necessary to deal with the majority of homeless people who are in that condition. And he doesn't mind moving people away from encampments and setting up this sort of, if it's okay, if the county has its special little showcase encampment that it sets up, or some showcase vehicular lots that only deal with a few of the people in vehicles, that's just fine. And it's a form of hypocrisy to suggest that he's interested in the COVID situation. His agenda seems to be something else. It seems to be providing the appearance and the excuse, the appearance of reasonable behavior and the excuse to drive away homeless people like they always do. In this case, also to drive away vendors in this situation. It's bullshit, really.
So what is the next move that I'm missing?
So we haven't finalized it, but we may limit hours, we may limit locations, or just change where they can be or not be. So we're working with the city attorney's office and the police.
Hi there.
So we aren't getting any straight language here, which is we're going to tell them to all move on Saturday are going to tell them to move on Thursday, show up on Friday, and tell them if they're gone, not gone by Saturday, we're going to steal all their stuff and give them citations and fines. Now, if that's what he had honestly said, he might have gotten some at least minimal pushback from, you know, the great liberal and progressive minority on city council. Supposedly that's Brown and Byers. But, of course, he didn't say that. But they are old-timers. Both of those women have been on this council before, and they know what goes on. And they're not pushing back much. Is that what you want on the council? Well, I don't think it really matters what you want, or even if you got what you want, considering the structure and the way the press, the way the council proceeds, essentially at the whim and the will and the initiative of the staff who really run things in Santa Cruz, headed by the city manager, whether it's COVID-19 pandemic crisis, emergency powers time or not.
Yeah, so we have not finalized those, Council Member Byers, but it will be really limiting or prohibiting the vendors in certain areas with certain conditions, again, to truly try to limit the spread of the virus and to try to keep the social distancing in place to the extent possible. I have to also recognize that even with the extent of enforcement that we have out there, it's just been really difficult because we simply don't have the resources to be out there, you know, constantly, and the vendors have been very creative in trying to avoid in a very competitive environment, unfortunately. We'll do our best to work with them like we have, but we do need to impose some additional restrictions too. Again, because addressing the COVID spread is really critical at this point in time.
And using the COVID card, instead of talking at all about what's really prompted the flashpoint here, at least, well, maybe, I don't know. It's what made me hear about it was this assault by supposedly the Falafel Hut guy on a woman who was vending and the overturning of her cart, maybe even the second cart, I'm not sure. And that there's no mention of that. There's no mention of holding accountable these people. Instead, you get, let's get rid of them all, which would be presumably what the Falafel Hut guy wants. Although I can't speak for him either. But apparently he's not speaking for himself. At least I haven't heard or seen anything that has been published that he has said. And it's not being brought up here.
Councilmember Matthews and Revolver.
Well, I kind of expected to address this when we got to the item about amending our vending ordinance to conform with state law. I don't know if you want to continue it here.
Yeah, you can certainly talk about it then. It's somewhat related in that obviously what we're doing now is executive orders under the existing health order. It's not related to necessarily the ordinance with moving forward.
The issue, well, I'll just put in my defense here and let it go for that. But it's really gotten bad, and it's not obviously not just COVID. I mean, that's kind of the excuse to do executive orders, but the whole situation there has gotten unsafe for the bike lanes. It's become a real problem just the vibe for the beachgoers. I mean, who wants to have fights between street vendors? That's not a pleasant experience. So I personally would just encourage you to create as much in the way of oversight enforcement as is legally possible, because it's just a bad vibe down there. And, you know, we've all seen the correspondence we've been getting. And
it's such a bad vibe to have those nasty Latino vendors there, Cynthia? That's Cynthia Matthews, of course, six-time city council member, I think two or three times mayor, fancy property owner. And I'm afraid one of my least favorite city council members, although I'm sure she has her good points as well.
It just seems like, you know, there's so much just throwing up his hands. Oh, can't do anything. And I realize the state law is a big challenge. So I would suggest that also in the future, we anticipate John Laird will be in the Senate. I mean, let's probably hope that at some point we get a correction in the state law as well. I know League of California Cities has been interested, opposes the extent of the state law, and we are not the only city grappling with this issue. So for the short term, let's do what we can to make the experience both beach and downtown. I'll put downtown in the same same spot here. Obviously safe, but also claim what local control we possibly can on this issue, which is the theme is just not helpful to us.
And, of course, Cynthia's talking about the vending ordinance, which is coming up later on the city council agenda, or came up later and was passed unanimously, which in essence reinstitutes most of the restrictions that were previously, that put little boxes up and down Pacific Avenue, which required people to be a foot and a half off the ground, no more than 6 feet off the ground, no more, can't have your dog with you, you have to move every hour. Now it's every 4 hours because they're forced to do that by the state law. Cynthia just doesn't like that state law. But it was done to protect, the state law was done to protect Latina vendors, I believe, Latinx vendors in Los Angeles. That's my vague recollection of that law, which in essence took away from cities the power to discriminate that kind of way in terms of what kinds of things could be vended on the streets. You had to be fair and even-handed and content neutral in that regard. Because of the state law passed and went into effect January 2019, Santa Cruz uniformed thugs had to back off their enforcement against vendors. And so people could start showing their jewelry again. They could start showing their handicrafts again. They could do what, in essence, actually kind of makes Santa Cruz, in a way, a more attractive tourist destination. But that's something I'm sure that over the years it's been my impression Cynthia doesn't really see it that way. At least she doesn't want to attract that kind of tourist or allow for that kind of lower class visibility on Pacific Avenue, on Beach Street, and elsewhere. That's just my impression of her. I'm sure she probably has a different story. If you get it and you want to have her come on the air, I'd be happy to put her perspective on, and we can bounce that one back and forth.
Hey, yo, my mama, nigga.
R.I.P. Pat Dog.
I'ma be the greatest to ever do this shit. Oh, my mama don't like. On the dead homies. Hey, Sideway, turn this shit up, nigga. Turn this shit up. Sideway, turn this shit up, nigga.
Tell me who the bitch, nigga, hating on me. Jumping on my dick, but this dick ain't free. To flip a butterfly, another classic CD. Get a lullaby for everyone they MC.
Blah, 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 blah.
Nigga, now R.I.P. My diligence is only meant to write your eulogy.
All's my life I has to fight, nigga. All's my life I. Hard times like, yeah. Bad trips like, yeah. Nazareth, I'm fucked up, homie, you fucked up. But if God got us, then we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
And when I wake up, I recognize you looking at me for the pay cut. Bahamas, I be looking at you from the face down. One Mac 11, even boom with the bass down. Skimming, and let me tell you about my life. Painkillers only put me in the twilight. Where pretty pussy and Benjamin is the highlight. I tell my mama I love her, but this what I like. Lord knows, 20 of them in my Chevy. Tell them all to come and get me, reaping everything I sow. So my karma come in heaven, no preliminary hearings on my record. I'm a motherfucking gangster in silence for the record. Tell the world I know it's too late. Boys and girls, I think I've gone crazy. Trying to side my faces all day. Won't you please believe when I say, when you know we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? nigga. And we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door. My knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright.
What you want? You a house, you a car, 40 acres and a mule, a piano, a guitar, anything. See, my name is Lucy. I'm your dog. Motherfucker, you can live at the mall. I can see the evil, I can tell it. I know it's illegal. I don't think about it. I deposit every other zero. Thinking of my partner, put the candy, painting on a Rico. Digging in my pocket, in a profit big enough to feed you. Every day, my logic, get another dollar just to keep you in the presence of your Chico. Ah! I don't talk about it, be about it. Every day, I seek you. If I got it, then you know you got it. Heaven, I can reach you. Pet dog, pet dog, pet dog, my dog, that's all. Big back and chat, I trap the back for y'all. I rap, I black on tracks, so rest assured. My rights, my wrongs, I write till I'm right with God. When you know, we've been hurt, been down before. Nigga, when our pride was low, looking at the world like, where do we go? Nigga, and we hate po-po, wanna kill us dead in the street for sure. Nigga, I'm at the preacher's door, my knees getting weak and my gun might blow, but we gon' be alright.
Nigga, we gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. We gon' be alright. Do you hear me? Do you feel me? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright. Huh? We gon' be alright. Nigga, we gon' be alright.
Nights in my prayers.
And that was Kendrick Lamar, All Right.